Okay, welcome back. Here we are. A little extra break there. Hour number two. And we're going to talk about something very interesting. If you have noticed and been paying attention, I've run a few stories about Japan launching a hydrogen-fueled automobile system. I don't know how it works. I haven't studied it. But they're banking on, apparently, hydrogen. Very interesting. This, of course, flies in the face of Elon Musk and his Tesla electric car, the Model S. I've ridden in one, and they have, I guess, a switch called Ludicrous, and when you, or a button, and when you push it, and you're in a very open part of the roadway, it just lets that engine go, electric motor, I should say. And I think it's 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds or something. And you are pushed back in that seat. I'm not sure that my friend who owns the car pushed the button. He just stepped on it. And it pushed me back in the seat. So electric motors can really fly. There are battery issues, however. The future would appear to be maybe both. I don't know. I don't know the answer. But there's a whole lot to be said about hydrogen. It's everywhere. It is certainly on the table and coming our way. The Japanese, as I said, have an automobile fueled by it, and I think its first year is this year. To talk to us about this and other things as well is a gentleman who has really been immersed in the whole hydrogen program, as it were, for quite some time. His name is Mike Stritzky, and that's S-T-R-I-Z-K-I, Stritzky. And he's standing by right now on the East Coast. Where are you, Mike? What state?
I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Yeah. You got your Chris Christie bumper sticker on, do you?
Not exactly.
Good, good, good. Let's talk about electric cars and hydrogen cars, if you'd like, just to get things going. That's a very fascinating subject. You're up on what the Japanese are doing with their hydrogen car, I'm sure. And if you look under Mike's name, you can find his two websites. I've got them for you, Hydrogen House and HCellEnergy.com. And you go and take a look and see.
Yeah, I mean, to talk a little bit about the electric vehicle versus the fuel cell vehicle, you first have to understand a little bit about the technologies. The electric car has been out for, you know, since the 1920s, and the problems with those cars, even in the 1920s, were always the batteries and the range. All the original milk trucks back in New York City were all what were called Edison batteries, which were used to power the milk trucks back then.
I never knew that. That's fascinating. How interesting. I know that during the war, the Germans built especially buses, they had electric motors in the wheels. I don't know what batteries they used, but same idea.
Yeah, the batteries have always been the issue. And, you know, every battery that's ever been built, you know, has a life cycle. And every cycle that the battery goes through, it becomes less and less till the batteries get thrown away.
So in other words, does it hold less and less? The recharge capacity and capability diminishes after each use?
After every cycle, it diminishes till it goes down to nothing.
Ah.
If you look at the battery specifications, they say the battery is good for 3,000 cycles or 2,000 cycles.
When they came out with the Prius, the batteries were, I don't know if they were designed, but they warrantied the batteries until just about the time they were about to die, anyway, a little bit before that. So the warranty would expire, then the batteries would go, then you'd be out of pocket about $10,000. I don't know what it is now, but I remember that.
Yeah, like I said, the batteries have always been the problems. And, you know, Toyota had signed into Elon Musk's batteries at one point, but they broke the agreement, you know, after they've seen what 60 years of devastation has done to their land and water, you know, by polluting with lead. Remember,
okay,
Japan was America's dumping ground.
Yeah, let's talk about this a little bit. What is involved in making a battery that is really bad for the environment?
Well, making batteries requires mining. You have to go after precious metals. Can be lead, zinc, it can be lithium, it can be nickel metal hydride, but it leaves a scorched earth policy in its wake. If anybody has ever looked at any kind of mining pictures after they're done, you know, strip mines or whatever, it basically despoils the earth. And most of the supplies that we need for these batteries are not in America. Most of the lithium is either in Canada or it's in, South America.
Uh-huh.
So there is a limited, resource for this material. And then recycling of the batteries are also a huge problem. I mean, there are mountains of lithium ion batteries sitting in Afghanistan from the wars there.
Really?
Why
can't they somehow break these batteries down, these lithium ion batteries, and break them into component elements, parts, substances, and do something with them? They've got to be worth something.
Well, you know,
apparently
the
not.
The problem is it costs money to do it. It costs more money to break it down and recycle it than the material is worth, and then the material cannot be adequately recycled. Why do we have water bottles all over the world? I mean, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. Okay, now, we're going to get to your hydrogen house product in just a minute. It's a project is what it is. But I want to ask another question about the Japanese hydrogen car. We all remember, at least this audience does, they've heard the name Stanley Meyer. And if you want to, if you're new to the program, you don't know anything about Stanley Meyer, look him up. Stanley Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R. He came up with a technique to take tap water and crack the hydrogen, the H, off the H2O, fast enough to fuel a dune buggy. And he drove that VW, drove it all over the place. The word is that the Pentagon went to meet with him about his breakthrough, said they wanted it for their military vehicles. And a couple of 3 days later, he was walking out of his favorite restaurant after a dinner and fell over dead in the parking lot of his small hometown in the Midwest.
Yeah, these things are scary. I mean, bad things happen to good people all the time.
Yeah, do you know what his technique was? Do you have an idea?
Yeah, he had a special injector that would charge a coil and put in a frequency that would basically break water down into its base elements.
It was an electric frequency? Electronic frequency?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, what a brilliant man. Wow.
Well, so was Tesla, and, you know, he died a pauper.
Yeah.
You know, the greatest inventors of our time have not been wealthy men.
No, that's true. A very interesting statement and true. Okay, anything else you want to mention about the Japanese hydrogen car? How do you think they're going to perform? Are they ready to release them?
Yeah, I mean, the Japanese have been working on hydrogen fuel cell vehicles for 10 years. It's been through all the crash testing, and they are very confident. In fact, they are going to make this happen like they made the hybrids happen, like the Toyota Prius and, there are other hybrids.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they're released 5,500 patents free to the world to jumpstart this economy. I just picked up an article the other day that the 2020 Olympics is all going to be powered by hydrogen. And there are already 100,000 hydrogen homes in Japan right now.
Now, the 2020 Olympics are going to be propelled by radioactivity. You got it wrong.
Well, that may be true, but that they already know the dangers of Fukushima and, you know, years of recycling America's trash. And, the hydrogen economy and hydrogen really holds the key. In my house, think about when you're making your fuel from sunlight, wind, hydroelectric, wave action. Basically, the byproduct of that is 100% chemically pure water and pure oxygen. So in the byproduct of making your energy is actually making the planet cleaner by putting two things that we need, pure oxygen and pure water.
Right.
So we're no longer digging up millions of years of carbon stored in the earth, throwing it in the air and saying it doesn't do anything.
Right.
You know, so this is an actual phase change, and that's what's so significant about this, is that, you know, this is going to lead the world in the right path to where we get our energy from above the ground, not below it. We're going to find our economies much more stable because they're not going to be driven by fossil fuel. They'll be driven by making the equipment to create hydrogen, to store it, and to reconvert it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically just an equipment problem. You know, my house has been off-grid for 9 years doing this, and I've spent the last 9 years protecting
really?
A system that people could afford.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. 9 years off-grid, wow.
In New Jersey with winter and
mm-hmm.
Hurricane Sandy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, hydrogen house, the hydrogen house. How did you do it? What are we looking at here? Are we going to see this kind of equipment in Walmart sooner or later, or is it going to be simply sold by individual entrepreneurs like yourself? What's the future of hydrogen?
Well, the future of hydrogen homes will be the infrastructure for your energy. We will be living in our own microgrids, and we will not be subject to all the things that the grid is subject to, like terrorism and natural disasters and, people driving into it. So, you know, we're going to be able to create an energy structure where your home will be your power plant. Last week, we dedicated the world's first commercial solar affordable hydrogen home in the world in Hopewell, New Jersey. And that house, for the first time in any one place, held all the keys to making the hydrogen economy. We had a Toyota Mirai fuel cell vehicle there. We had a Millennium Rain solar hydrogen refueling station for it. We had my Jewel Box technology, which powered the house, and we had a 40-kilowatt solar array that captured the sunlight and stored it seasonally for use in the house whenever you need it. Hydrogen is basically the battery that never goes bad. It's as good today as it'll be 100 million years from today.
Wow.
And people fail to realize that 80% of every molecule in the universe is hydrogen. And nothing gets consumed in this system except sunlight.
Hmm.
So with water to hydrogen, hydrogen to water, power of the sun does the conversion.
Mm-hmm.
So this truly is free energy without all of the problems. People don't realize that it takes, 2 gallons of gasoline for you to get five, because you have to transport it from Saudi Arabia.
Sure,
you have
sure,
to protect it across the Gulf.
Yep, yep.
So this is going to be a whole phase change. It's like Blockbuster and digital media. It's all changing right before our eyes, and it's changing very rapidly, and the world needs to change. In China, you can see the air, let alone smell it.
Correct.
And, it's they're following all the same problems that we did, in the 60s and 70s, with our industry. And this has the ability to change all of that. But change is hard, People, it's like Ma Bell with the landline system and against the cell phone. Sooner or
mm-hmm.
later, they're going to have to join us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that revolution is taking place now with the Internet in place. There's no stopping this, and I'm just riding under Toyota's wings, and implementing this technology. They did the hard part. They put hydrogen in a vehicle that goes down the road at 80 miles an hour that can crash into bridges, and it has to be safe enough to store in people's garages. Just to prove how safe hydrogen is, you can carry it on an airplane right through your check-in, when you go to fly. I have a hydrogen fuel cell cell phone charger I carry with me everywhere, and it contains 14 liters of hydrogen, and it's FAA certified to take in the aircraft with you.
Say that again, Mike. You have a what?
I have a handheld hydrogen fuel cell that I can carry on any aircraft in the world.
That's what I thought FAA you said. All right.
Yes, it's FAA certified to be carried in the passenger cabin with you. We go through your check-in.
Huh? Who built that?
It was built by a company called Horizon, out of China, and it was one of the patents that I had worked on in 2003.
Do you have yourself patents out? Many.
I have a number of patents. If anybody Googles my name, I have about, I think, 8 or 9 patents at this point.
All right, it's
on this kind of technology.
Just Mike Strizky, or do you put a T on the Z also? Is it Strizky or Strizky?
It's Strizky. You had it right the first time.
Okay, I thought so. All right, so you've got patents. You've rigged up your house. Where do you get tap water? Where do you get your hydrogen?
Well, the hydrogen comes from energy created by my solar system. It runs through what's called an electrolyzer. The electrolyzer, you put water in, you put electricity in, and you get hydrogen and oxygen out. There's a real nice video on my website that was done by Discovery Science that shows exactly how the entire house worked with some fancy illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a real good video. There are lots of videos on my website that will illustrate how the whole system works. We also have a commercial piece of equipment called the Jewel Box, which is now available for sale, and that's what we're putting in homes that can't use their solar when the grid goes down. And it gives them the ability to run through storms and hurricanes and gas being shut off and having to wait in gas lines, waiting for, the weather, wondering whether the fuel is going to run out in the gas station or the gas station has electricity to pump fuel.
I understand. Okay, so let's talk about how you have your home, your hydrogen house, set up. Let's say I wanted to pursue any of this. Do I have the ability to buy these components in a commercial retail sense, bring them home, plug them in, and have them work? I don't mean necessarily just plug them in.
We are basically doing engineered systems similar to solar systems. So we size the system and configure our Jewel Box to meet the power needs of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people live in a 100-square-foot home and some people live in a 6,000-square-foot home. So obviously the power usage between the two would not be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So we scale the equipment, you know, based on the power need of the customer, just like Solar City would when they come in to mm-hmm. size a solar system for a house.
How
but
long?
All the equipment is commercially available.
Okay.
It's just what we're doing is special is we do the integration and I've developed the software to do all the controls of the equipment. And I have the reputation with all the suppliers to be allowed to do that.
So people, if they want to find out about this, they just go to your website? I mean, we've got it. It's right under your name.
Yes, hydrogenhouseproject.org. They can click on the Jewel Box. They can take a look at all of the videos. There's an info at Hydrogen House that they can send their comments. Or if they want me to come out and do an estimate and, you know, get them a system.
Well, you'd have to be flown out. So you make house calls is what I'm saying.
I make house calls. Yep.
at the early
stage, I'm making sure this is right.
Uh huh. Okay. All right. I mean,
the game plan is to go public and to basically purchase solar companies in areas where they have the highest electric rates, where they get the best paybacks.
Yeah.
These systems qualify for between a 30% and 40% ITC credit. That's an investment tax credit from the federal government. So they're going to help you pay for your system, which is great as well. That also leads to the affordability of the system.
All right. So look under Mike Stritsky's name, Hydrogen House. You'll see it there. Click on that. It'll take you right to the website, which is hydrogenhouseproject.org. Now, on your homepage, you've got a real pretty picture of water. You also have some wind turbines on top of a roof with solar panels.
Yeah, the Jewel Box can be equipped. That's the Jewel Box, and that can be equipped with a wind turbine if there's a wind resource.
When you say Jewel Box, define that, will you please? What do you mean by Jewel Box?
The Jewel Box is the name of the product, but the Jewel Box on a pallet contains the electrolyzer, the battery storage, the ultracapacitors, solar, and the wind all on a 3-foot by 4-foot platform that can be dropped anywhere.
I see.
So it's basically a power plant in a box.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that right now on your site. You have 2, 4, 6, 8 panels laid on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have another picture with four.
That actually tracks.
Right.
Yeah, so this has a tracker with it. It has a wind turbine on it. So it takes up a very small footprint, but it also puts out a lot of energy because we're using very high energy density cells, and the panels will actually follow the sun where you get the maximum efficiency out of them.
Solar or hydrogen? Go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is all on a platform that can be put anywhere. We also have a water purification unit that goes with it that's called the Hydra. And, that will process 10,000 gallons a day from any freshwater source in the U.S., which is a lake, river, stream, or pond. And it will meet NSF certification, National Science Foundation certifications. So this is really the ultimate in survival.
What does this water purifier remove?
It removes 100% viruses and 100% bacteria, and it removes like nitrates and chlorine and things like that. It's a 0.05 micron filter.
So it's a half a micron filter. Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
All right.
So it filters out all the heavy particles and viruses and bacteria, and that's really what makes you sick.
Does Stanley Myers work live? Does somebody have it? Have you seen it? Would you like to have it?
Of course. Who wouldn't?
So, well, you stepped around my earlier questions. It's not out there. The government got it. It's put away. It's just not there. He did it. He solved it. He came up with a way to do it. And you can look at the documentary.
We're going to see a little more about that one. The judge and jury are not quite out on that one yet.
Okay.
I have some knowledge that we might be seeing it. It didn't totally die.
Okay, I can see you're protecting that, and that's all fine. Well, that's good news. I'm glad to hear it. Let's hope that does indeed happen. What he did was remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of inventors that have put things out on the market.
It was so remarkable, it cost him his life. So.
Well, I'm sure it won't be the first, and I'm sure it won't be the last.
No. All right, hold on, Mike. We'll take a break here. We'll come back in a few minutes. Mike Stritsky talking about hydrogen, which right now can be used to take care of your home. All right, hold on. Okay, and welcome back. Talking to Mike Stritsky. Hydrogen is here. You can get off the grid with hydrogen right now. What are the downsides, and where are we in the linear line of improving this product?
We're right about where the cell phones were when there were a couple of towers and they were a little big and a little bulky, we're right at that stage where this is going to take off big time. Here, the downsides to what we're doing right now is it's a little bit more expensive than I want it to be because we just don't have the volumes. But we're soon going to change that by being able to provide financing for these systems. And, we've already done the hardest part of the work, which has been cracking the building codes, so that we're able to install these systems under international building codes almost anywhere in the world. So the equipment is safe enough. To give you a little background on where fuel cells are used, I mean, fuel cells started out with NASA in the 60s and successfully moved every manned mission since Apollo and provided the astronauts with their drinking water, heat, and electricity in the most hazardous environment known to man, obviously, which is outer space. Here on planet Earth, the largest applications are to back up the 911 system for telecommunications. So they actually back up the battery bank to provide the 72 hours needed that are required by law in the event of a natural disaster. Huh. Now we're seeing them go into facets like forklifts. A company called Plug Power in Latham, New York is going to be profitable for the first time this year, selling forklifts to places like Walmart and Amazon and things like that, all powered by hydrogen. And the business model is that, you only need one forklift, and there's no charging, there's no battery rooms, there's no disposal fees.
Yeah, there's just a tank. It's a tank of hydrogen, right?
Right.
Okay.
That gets filled. So You know, when you burn hydrogen, you get water. So there's no emission.
Who comes around to fill your hydrogen fuel tank?
Mother Nature. Every day, the big nuclear ball in the sky deposits photons. The solar panels turn them into electrons, which power my electrolyzer that create the hydrogen. So the answer is it's free. It truly is free energy once you've paid for the equipment.
Okay, so this forklift that's going to go out, who pays for that? How do they get charged? It's a tank, I understand.
It's like
propane.
Yes, only it's a gas. It doesn't turn into a liquid. And they transfer it at high pressure from one high-pressure tank into the high-pressure tank in the forklift.
So a truck will come around with this?
They would put up a small storage area at the facility, and yes, a truck would come and deliver it conventionally. The stuff that I'm doing right now is it gets made from solar on the roof, and it fills the tank right on their premises.
Huh.
So where they're doing it as a steam reforming process from a commercial gas company, my process is doing it from solar energy that's delivered free to this facility, and is made from water, compressed, put into the tanks, and dispensed into the forklifts.
Okay, if I come back to you in 2 or 3 years, where are we going to be with this?
Well, the fuel cell cars will be out by every major automaker. Refueling infrastructure for these fuel cell vehicles, they're putting in over 50 stations in California right now. They're putting in at least another 12 in the Northeast.
Excuse me, is this for the Japanese vehicles that are coming?
Well, they're more than Japanese vehicles. The Hyundai is putting out a fuel cell vehicle right now that they're selling in Arizona and California, and it's coming to the Northeast. It'll be the Toyota Mirai. You have Honda has the Clarity that'll be out the next year. You have Mercedes that has the F-Series.
Oh, there's a whole bunch coming out. They're going to break out of the gate.
There's a whole bunch coming out.
So what about
every major automaker will be producing a fuel cell vehicle by next year.
Except Elon Musk.
He's bet the farm on batteries. And, like I said, the Japanese have, cut their ties with the Tesla battery because they know that the fuel cell is the, is the VHS to their Beta.
So, Got it. Interesting.
You don't want to be drinking your own Kool-Aid. That's the problem with getting married to your own technology. Like I said, fuel cells have been around for a long time, and Toyota has made them affordable. And, like I said, a company to release 5,500 patents free to the world is a pretty big deal. They're really pushing this one to happen, just like they did with the hybrids. Everybody said Toyota was going to lose their shirt on the Toyota Prius, and they became the largest car company in the world. So, these are pretty smart people, and they know where the future is going. And, they're driving it in that direction. If, Toyota and Eon have been going back and forth with, different commercials about, their public comments, but I urge your viewers to check out the Toyota commercials called Turning Point, and there's a whole series of ones being run from Cal Manure and Lemonade.
Huh.
And they've actually gone to Titusville, where oil was first found, took water from the creek and made hydrogen, from the same birthplace of oil. So, the nice thing about hydrogen, it's 80% of every molecule in the universe, and it can be made from almost anything, whether it's organic or whether it's biomass. And most of the fossil fuels we use today all have hydrogen in it. For instance, natural gas is CH4. It's a carbon and four hydrogens.
Hmm.
So, it's something we're already using. We're just not using it in the pure form. We're using it attached to something else.
Well, that's changing. All right, so this is what we're doing tonight is basically previewing an enormous debut of this technology. All these vehicles are going to be coming out, and goodness knows how many other projects. I was almost run over by a Prius once. You can't remember when they first came out? It made no noise. I was in a parking lot and I didn't hear it. Came right behind me. Could have run me over.
Yeah, they make a little bit of a whir, but
Enough.
Not enough. Well, I have a fuel cell motorcycle I drive all the time, And that's the part I'm
Wait a minute. You have a hydrogen fuel cell motorcycle?
Yeah, I do. I have a hydrogen fuel cell I built called the New Jersey Genesis, which is on my website. I've been driving for 15 years.
Well, so, you're amazing. Very good. All right, stand by a second, Mike. We'll come right back and see where you want to go with this in our last segment.
Okay.
It's fascinating. I had no idea these cars were all coming out. I'd like to know how similar their fuel cells are, or if they're all buying them or several from the same source and just plugging them into
I'll
their
talk
vehicle.
A little bit about that.
Yeah, it's all very interesting. Okay, hydrogen, tomorrow's fuel today. It sounds like a slogan. Be right back. Okay, and welcome back. Talking to Mike Stritsky and hydrogenhouseproject.org is his website. I want you to, if you would, Mike, again, run down the number of automakers who are bringing out hydrogen fuel cell models within the next year or two. Toyota is already out.
The two that are out of the gate and the third one coming up, you have the Toyota right now is for sale in California and soon to be for sale in New York and Massachusetts. But it'll soon spread all over the country. It's just like, you know, the hybrid started out in California as well. Honda's right on their tail, and Mercedes will be coming out with a car next year. These cars have been in testing for the last 10 years.
Wow.
And are now ready for market introduction.
Okay, so they have to be filled. I assume they have a tank, just like we talked about with the forklift, correct? It's a tank.
Correct.
All right, they don't make like Stanley Meyer did. He made his pretty much on the run, didn't he?
Right. I mean, Stanley Meyer's concept was to make it from water on the fly.
Yeah.
In real time.
That's right.
The stuff that they're making now is basically made ahead of time, stored in tanks, and transported just like the regular refueling infrastructure.
Understand. And yeah, it was the idea that they had to make a tank that was really impregnable to collision and all of that, because that could be pretty messy.
Yeah, I mean, the principles of hydrogen are much safer than any fossil fuel. If you were to have a leak with hydrogen, it travels at 45 miles an hour in outer space and diffuses more rapidly than any other fuel. So basically, you can't chase it with a flame. If you're lucky enough to get it ignite in the first 6 inches, it's already diffused in air by the time it gets to be a foot above the tank. So hydrogen only goes in one direction. It goes up. You know, unfortunately, Hindenburg has given hydrogen a bad rap because, you know, the skin of the airship was coated with aluminum oxide, which is rocket fuel. And it wasn't the hydrogen, it was the skin of the airship. Like I said, again, when you burn hydrogen, you get water. And what people saw in those photos was the black smoke and, you know, the flames coming from the skin of the airship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until now that, you know, all those myths have all been proved on shows like Mythbusters and in popular science and popular mechanics. You know, just like we know that the Titanic metal was brittle. That's the major reason that the Titanic sank. Too much carbon in the metal. So we learned a lot of lessons, you know, from mistakes.
Well, that's it. Even if you fall on your face, you're still moving forward, remember?
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, one of the things I want to explain to your viewers is really how the hydrogen house works. A lot of people can see it on the videos, but just to describe it briefly is my house works on an energy cycle. During the springtime, when I have longer solar days and I have no heat or air conditioning bill, I take my 27 kilowatts of solar energy and I run it through my electrolyzer and I make hydrogen. I fill 10 1,000-gallon propane tanks sitting in my yard. And by the end of June, they're all done. The rest of the season, from June till the end of September, I'm backfeeding that energy to the grid and making money. During the end of September to December, I'm neutral. I can survive on what solar is there. I don't have much extra. It's fine. During the winter, I'm short. We have short solar days. There's solar panels are covered with snow. So the hydrogen that I made the year before, I run it through my hydrogen fuel cell. I generate the electricity, which runs the geothermal to heat my house, and it provides all my energy needs. Now, you can cook with hydrogen. You can run it in your furnace. You can run it in your stove. So anything you can do with fossil fuel, you can do with hydrogen. So that's the beauty of this. And you know, if you're heating your house with hydrogen, you don't have to run a vent and then have your heat out because it doesn't create any carbon. Mm-hmm. No one's going to die from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Because remember, there is no such thing as fossil fuel. That's an unfortunate misnomer. It's petroleum, and it's made constantly under the surface of the earth. They call it fossils, but it has nothing to do with fossils. It always drives me nuts when I hear that. People just don't know. It's they got caught up in that trick a long time ago. It's petroleum.
Yeah, I mean, if your listeners are interested, they're making a movie on my life called Keys to the Cage.
Really? Who's making a movie on your life?
There's a film company called Sovereign Films that's doing a documentary.
That's quite a compliment. Congratulations.
I've been doing this for 30 years, and there have been a lot of pitfalls along the way. I built one of the first fuel cell vehicles for the American Tour du Sol back in 1996.
Uh-huh.
Before the automakers were even thinking about this stuff. I did the world's first commercial purchase of fuel cells outside the U.S. space program when I worked for the Department of Transportation, for the variable roadway message signs that you see all over.
Got it.
So I've been doing this for many years. I built cars and boats and airplanes. I did a fuel cell fire truck for Peugeot in France. I did a fuel cell boat for Duffy Electric Boat in Southern California. I did an airplane for NASA a few years ago.
Huh.
So, you know, I know that this stuff works, you know, and I know the reason it's not being adopted because it's the holistic cure for energy.
Yeah.
So,
wait, what about the military? They always seem to be sticking their nose into anything that might benefit the masses of people and taking it and keeping it for themselves. What's keeping them from getting into this? Nothing. Why aren't they?
Well, you know, it's war over resources, what can I tell you?
In other words, they'd rather keep their contracts up with Standard Oil Shell and everything. So they keep building diesel. They keep building diesel powered this and that.
Yep, that's it. They've got 40 years of infrastructure they have to pay off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, this is the equalizer. The things that they don't want you to control yourself are the food, the water, the energy, and the communications. If you control those yourself, then you truly are independent.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this system at least gives you two of the three.
Oh, yeah. I see that. Have you been contacted by the government at all? I mean, in a friendly way? Well, in any way.
Well, yeah, they contact me. They just keep an eye on it, see what I'm doing. But
how do they do that? Do you have to report to them? Do they come and visit you and say, hey, Mike, how's it going?
Well, I mean, you know, it was interesting. We had the Department of Energy at our event. They came to look, but they told me they couldn't talk on the event because it was, they didn't fund the event. They didn't fund the project, which was...
That was their excuse?
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
They said, that's a good thing. So... it's going to be a grassroots effort to get this out, get the word out, and things are going to change. And you know, for the first time, I feel confident that Toyota backing this kind of worldwide movement, and the Japanese government, you know, adopting these technologies, you know, full-heartedly, basically because they're forced into it with Fukushima and their years of recycling.
Right.
That you know they're going to lead the way for the rest of the world, and you know.
So there will be hydrogen filling stations, probably, I would imagine, incorporated as part of a normal filling station chain in time.
Yes, I mean, these things are all being built now, and there will be home hydrogen refueling stations. I built one at my home. I've had operational for the last year and a half.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, these things can be done, and they can be done at home where your home will be your energy infrastructure.
Sure, sure. All right.
Like I said, right now it's for the the upper middle class and the wealthy right now, but in time, just like big screen TVs, it'll be available to the masses.
Well, the nice thing about this is companies putting out hydrogen fuel cell vehicles won't have to face what Volkswagen is facing right now.
That's true.
The emissions from a hydrogen fuel cell are what?
They're zero.
That's
it. Water and a little bit of heat. So, companies like Hyster, which is the largest equipment material.
Yeah, they make forklifts and all that. Sure.
Right. They just bought Nuvera Fuel Cell Company to start making a whole line of fuel cell powered material handling equipment. So we're going to start to see it in Bobcats. And construction equipment and excavators. So as more and more of the infrastructure gets out there.
That's a very major development, Hyster doing that. Big. Yes. I got it.
Yeah, I mean, you had Plug Power bought Relion Fuel Cell for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
All the ducks are getting in a row, consolidating, waiting for the release of all these products. It's going to be like the Internet. It's going to come hot and heavy when it does.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's lining up right now. I mean, 10 years ago, hydrogen was a joke, but it's no joke right now. And people are realizing that really this is the key to the storage of energy, period, and it's the key to storing renewables.
Can you run?
Before
we run out of time, can you run an internal combustion engine with some modifications with hydrogen?
You can. It's not as efficient as running it with a fuel cell, but you can. I have a hydrogen Wankel 30 kilowatt generator that I built, 8 years ago.
In other words, it's not going to necessarily challenge or make obsolete internal combustion engines. It'll clean them up.
Well, here's the rub with this. It would be like trying to turn a cassette player into digital media. There's just some things you just have to start all over again. The efficiencies of an internal combustion engine are somewhere around 10 to 4% by the time you get the power to the wheels. The fuel cell is 55% efficient.
Oh, my.
So just to give you an idea of how big of an advance this is, if you took a Toyota Mirai and you put 3 gallons of gasoline equivalent, which is 3 kilograms of hydrogen in the vehicle, you can go 330 miles. That's 110 miles per gallon fuel economy.
And the engines, do they have pistons, or you mentioned Wankel, is it just a rotary?
Wankel's the easiest engine to convert because it has a variable compression cycle. Internal combustion engines are designed for their fuel. So basically how fast the flame speed is dictates the compression ratio of the engine. And, the engines have to be specifically designed to run on hydrogen.
Gotcha.
Which means you're going to have to change the engine out. You're going to have to put a turbocharger on.
I got it. Very interesting. All right. Well, we look like we're on the doorstep of a major, massive revolution in energy.
And it is. I mean, if your viewers just do any searching on the Internet, there's a lot of buzz with hydrogen right now, and a lot of people are figuring out how to make it, how to store it, how to deliver it, because the demand is going to increase very rapidly.
Okay.
And this is not just happening here. It's happening in Great Britain. It's happening in China. It's happening in Japan and Korea, all over the place.
Got it. Mike,
we're at the hydrogen age.
Well, I hope you do well and are recognized for your contributions, which obviously are enormous. And I wish you the best of luck. And thank you for coming on the program. HydrogenHouseProject.org. Mike Stritsky. Thank you, Mike, very much. Let me know how things go.
All right, I will. I'll keep you in the loop on any new advances.
Good. Thanks much.
All right, have a good night.
Okay, thank you. Good night. All right, there's, big changes coming. Okay, we'll be back.